This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. President Biden has been speaking at Atlanta's Ebenezer Baptist Church, where Martin Luther King Jr. once preached.
These are the vital questions of our time, and the reason why I'm here as your president. I believe Dr. King's life and legacy show us the way, and we should pay attention. I really do.
The president also is reviving his call for sweeping voting rights legislation. More documents, marked classified, have been discovered by the president's attorneys at the family home in Delaware and handed over to the National Archives. But Republican James Comer tells CNN he sees a double standard.
Why was Mar-a-Lago raided, but the president's home not?
There's a good reason for that, says Democrat Daniel Goldman on CBS's Face the Nation.
We don't have any indication that President Biden knew about them. He certainly has demonstrated no intent to deceive or obstruct the government by keeping them. And that's in direct contrast to President Trump, who refused to cooperate, who refused to comply with a subpoena.
Sacramento County has issued an evacuation order for parts of the Wilton area, but many residents say they aren't leaving. Here's KOVR reporter Bradley Halbleeb.
Wilton resident Catherine O'Boyle is among those staying behind.
Because we have animals to take care of. I've got dogs and cats and chickens, and we have to feed them.
The evacuation order comes after Sacramento County officials warned residents about rising water levels along the Cosumnes River.
People will not leave their animals. The animals is an extension of their family.
Lynette Titus lives in Elk Grove, but says she understands why people wouldn't leave.
We've had storms now since New Year's Eve, and everybody's kind of numb to it.
California isn't the only state dealing with severe weather.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. The president's disaster declaration last night makes residents and businesses in Merced, Sacramento, and Santa Cruz counties eligible for federal aid, including home repairs and low-cost loans to cover uninsured property losses. This morning, the president declared Autauga and Dallas counties in Alabama disaster areas after tornadoes ripped through last week.
At least 68 people have been killed in a plane crash in central Nepal, the BBC's Caroline Davies reports.
The Yeti Airlines flight from Kathmandu to the tourist town of Pokhara took off at 10:32 a.m. local time this morning. According to the Nepali army, it crash-landed 1.5 kilometers from Pokhara Airport. Images of clouds of black smoke and flames have been posted on social media, allegedly from the crash site. Nepal has some of the world's most remote and difficult runways, and weather conditions in the mountains can change suddenly.
This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The long-term effects of Wisconsin's redistricting process were apparent in the November elections. A nonpartisan good government group says voters who feel overlooked should not give up. Mike Moen reports.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers won re-election, but Republicans maintained strong control over the legislature. Jay Heck of the group Common Cause points out that Evers maintains his veto power, but he says Republicans still carry a lot of weight, partly because they keep redrawing the maps to their advantage.
There were more votes cast for Democratic candidates statewide than Republican, but the contrast with the legislative elections in the state is so sharp, it almost makes laughable the idea that we have a true representative democracy.
Researchers have said that over the past decade, Wisconsin has produced among the most gerrymandered voting district maps in the country. Heck says voters should look ahead to next year's state Supreme Court election with the hope a less politicized court could eventually revisit the issue. And there could be legislation floated again next year to develop an independent redistricting process. In the meantime, he says the current maps allow a smaller percentage of voters to decide who controls the legislature, leaving other voters behind in fair representation.
Urban areas in Wisconsin have suffered a decline in the shared revenue from the state, even though those people pay taxes.
Heck says that means less support for schools, roads, and other public needs. Analysts say lawmakers representing these areas get packed into boundaries that ultimately diminish their voices at the state capitol. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
I can see you in the morning when you go to school. Don't forget your books, you know you've got to learn the golden rule.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us today during your lunch hour, the noon hour. As always, and especially now, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. We are going to spend at least the first half of this hour, half hour, maybe the full hour, on some local news. We are sitting in downtown Waukesha at the WAUK, the Shaw Station. And last night, the Waukesha School Board voted unanimously, so that's 8-0,
yep,
on a bill that it sounds like didn't have, it's unclear if their lawyer, if the school board's lawyers looked at this yet. It's apparent that it was only added to the agenda the end of last week, to be voted on last night. But the School District of Waukesha Board of Education voted unanimously 8-0 to approve an amended version of a proposal titled Parental Rights and Transparency. The proposal touches upon gender identity, pronouns, transgender athletes, and bathrooms. And there was a large crowd that ended up, despite the
Last minute
nature of this. It seems like there was enough organizing that happened from parents. It sounds like potentially on both sides of the issue that showed up last night. And one of the questions addressed in the proposal is how the district should handle a student who wants to use pronouns and names without their parents' knowledge. And we're waiting. Sarah Harrison, former candidate for state representative, former candidate for Waukesha School Board, is going to be joining us shortly. But I just thought, because the it's public knowledge as far as what was in the actual resolution. And so I thought to start, until Sarah's able to get here, we just kind of talk through what's in there. So it says, a resolution to affirm the commitment of the School District of Waukesha Board of Education to the rights of parents to be informed of and to direct the education of their minor children. Whereas the School District of Waukesha Board of Education believes parents play the primary role as decision makers in the student's K through 12 educational experience. Parents are their children's first teacher and remain teachers and role models throughout their child's educational journey. The relationship between student and classroom teacher should be positive and formative, but does not replace the relationship of a parent and child. The school day should focus on learning and individual development with opportunities for constructive play and intellectual curiosity and with appropriately challenging academic goals for every student. All students deserve to feel welcome at school, regardless of religious beliefs, race, ethnicity, or sexual orientation. No student shall be compelled to affirm through speech, writing, or action an opinion that violates their deeply held personal, religious, or moral beliefs. Minor students' questions of gender, identity, and sexuality are personal and private. Any involvement on these topics by school staff should be done with the full consent and collaboration of the parents. Consideration of controversial issues has a place in the instructional program of the district when related to the instructional goals of the course of study, and when introduced and conducted properly, the content is age appropriate and is without bias or intent to cause harm or disruption. Student physical safety at school is a district priority. Students and their parents have a right to privacy and information security. Licensed student services professionals play a critical role in creating positive school environments and strengthening family-school partnerships, which are essential for student well-being and academic growth. And finally, access to technology is necessary in a modern learning environment. District-issued student devices are an extension of instructional resources and should not create an unmitigated risk of introducing harmful or inappropriate content. So it goes on for a couple more pages, but that's everything on the first page. And joining us now is Sarah Harrison. Welcome back to the show. We had you in the fall ahead of the election, but do we have her mic on? Great. So if you just talk right
okay.
into that. Welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So paint the picture of, I guess, the lead up of this, because I received multiple DMs. Civic Media got an email kind of alerting that this was happening. And then it happened last night. So kind of let's just paint the picture of what happened before last night in the lead up to this.
Sure. Well, we first saw anything about this as a parent community. I have a child at School of Waukesha. And we first saw anything about this 5 days ago in the board meeting agenda notes.
So this was like Friday of last week or over the weekend?
Yeah, it would have been probably Friday, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is, and so anyone who's even noticing that this is happening is people who are reading the board's agenda notes. Okay.
Yeah, you got to be looking for it. Yeah. This resolution wasn't on any sort of committee agenda. It was spoken about apparently within a committee, but it wasn't on the agenda. So it's the whole thing's a little surprising to us as parents. Which is ironic because it's supposed to be about transparency to the parents, and we didn't know they were talking about transparency. So late last week, we first became aware of it and started, talking back and forth about, well, what does this mean? And is this the same as some of the national things that we've seen? And it's absolutely a page out of the Parents' Bill of Rights that you saw from Josh Hawley, that you saw from our Wisconsin Republican Party a year ago. It's 100% the same content. It's really disappointing to me that this sort of was sprung on us in that way.
And so that was a lead up. And then it seems like there was enough alarms or awareness spread that a lot of people showed up to the meeting last night. And so how did the meeting go?
The meeting was interesting. I mean, Waukesha school board meetings are always interesting. But,
and you wanted to be part of it.
I did. It would have at least been a 7-1 vote. Dang it. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. It's encouraging to see young folks speaking up about what they and their peers are going through. And there were some parents there as well, myself included, who spoke with the board, who gave public comment. There were a few people who were also
I appreciate that you're trying to find the right words.
Yeah. I'm trying to be kind. The folks who were saying, yes, please do this thing, didn't have specific concerns. They didn't have...
they couldn't point to certain instances where this has happened and it's been a bad thing.
It was just, well, my kid is my kid and I should know everything that's going on in their lives. And gosh, I think most parents know you don't know everything that's going on in their lives. And it's been shown that students or kids, whatever, minors who have someone that they can trust, who are in the LGBTQ community, are much less likely to feel as ostracized, to attempt self-harm. LGBTQ kids are 4 times as likely to attempt suicide. And our school already took away the safe space signs. We already took away the pride flags. And now we're taking away the trusted adult that student could talk to. I don't see how this benefits anyone. I personally have 2 kids who are in the LGBTQ community, and I'm very proud of them. And when they came to talk to me about how they were feeling and where they fit into this crazy world, it was a celebratory conversation. It was like, hey, I think I figured this out, and here's where I fit. And, you know, hey, let's go have some brownies or something. I mean, and not every kid has yes. that. It's the kids that don't have that I worry about. I know that there were some students who wanted to attend the meeting, whose parents wouldn't allow them to attend the meeting. And those are probably exactly the kids that we need to help, right? I think it's a tenuous, slippery slope at best, and legally not very strong.
So that's the question that I have as far as, because this has developed so quickly, mm-hmm. have lawyers looked at this? Is this legal?
So they said that the board did state that they have had conversations with their legal advisors, and that the legal advisors had suggested that if a parent calls to ask, that they can share any information they have, including, names, pronouns, sexual preference. But that they shouldn't be calling parents and telling them this. And that's exactly what they're proposing to do, is to call the parents if it comes up at all.
So basically treating it, because I think teachers fall under that, teachers like therapists, where there is, right. when it comes to a minor, if there's abuse mm-hmm. of any sort, they have to, yes. they're required to
yes.
report it. Yep. So they're trying to treat coming out in some way or form almost like it's abuse, where they have to report.
Right. Well, and I think this is funny because one of the board members brought up, hey, do we know if this is legal? Have we talked to, our legal counsel? And the president of the board said, oh, we have. I'm sorry, I'm not sure if it was the president who said we have. I believe it was actually the assistant superintendent who said, yes, we have. And XYZ, like I just explained. And so the proposed workaround for that was, okay, so every year we'll just ask parents if they want us to call them if something is going on. And I'm like, okay, you asking parents, do you want to know this, is not the same as a parent calling you mm-hmm. asking that. So I think there's a strong legal challenge there for what they're trying to do. And I think I don't find it to be very ethical that they passed the resolution knowing that it was not what their legal advice was from their counsel. Now, this is not a policy.
Is it a
word.
Proposal?
Proposal. Thank you. You saved me. But it is what they want to base future policies on, and they want to have it in place like by March. So this is all happening very quickly.
Yeah. So we have to take our first break. When we come back, kind of talk about what does this even look like when you take it out of theory mm-hmm. and put it into application of what this looks like, what responsibility and extra work this puts on teachers. Yeah. I think there's so many more other implications, and the whole dress code thing, which feels like, did that also get passed last night?
Yes, but not quite in the way that it was.
Okay. We'll talk when we come back. All right. Stick with us. We're talking about the Waukesha School Board District meeting that happened last night. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You're coming along.
¿Te tiene agobiado tu trabajo? ¿Sueñas con una carrera profesional donde puedas ganar más dinero y te sientas apreciado? Si tu respuesta es afirmativa, entonces Sigma Castings, una división de Sigma Engineered Solutions en Marquesan y Jackson, es tu respuesta. Son más que una empresa, son una familia de expertos dedicados que abarcan continentes. Te harán sentir apreciado de muchas maneras. Por ejemplo, el nivel básico de pago es de $18 por hora con revisiones periódicas de rendimiento. Después de los primeros 90 días de empleo, tendrás derecho a 80 horas de vacaciones, más 11 feriados pagados. Aún más, ganarías un bono de $2,000 por permanecer en tu puesto. Te ofrecen un paquete de beneficios robusto, con primas bajas y excelente cobertura, y su plan de retiro 401k te va a impresionar. Se está contratando ahora para el primer turno, lunes a viernes, de 5 de la mañana a 2 de la tarde. Empieza tu nueva carrera ya con Sigma Castings en Marquesan y Jackson. Encuéntralos en Indeed o llama a 920-260-8560 y levántate en la mañana feliz de ir al trabajo.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with a high of 38. Winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered rain showers tonight, lows around 34. Overcast. Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 42. Cloudy. Upper 30s Tuesday and Wednesday, with a chance for scattered showers Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Wisconsin with Kristen Rye. We are talking about the Waukesha Board of Education and the meeting that happened last night where they voted 8-0 to approve a proposal titled Parental Rights and Transparency, and how fast-tracked the whole situation was. And joining us to talk about it is Waukesha School District parent and also former candidate for Waukesha School Board and former candidate for state representative, Sarah Harrison, thank you for coming back. And so this passed, and it's just a proposal. It's not the actual policy yet.
Right.
So what does the conversation become now as far as how this goes from theory to application?
Sure. That's a great question. I'm not sure how you make this. How do you make this practiced, practicable, practical? For those teachers. So is it if a student comes to a teacher and specifically says, I want to be, please use they, them pronouns for me, or please use she, her, or he, him, whatever it may be, is that the trigger? Or is it that I'm a teacher and I'm in the lunchroom and I overhear that so-and-so who was biologically female is being called he, him? Well, now do I have to tell the parents? Am I now the gender police that has to get in touch with the parents? And it puts teachers in this middle ground that I guarantee they don't want to be in. Yeah. And I don't know how you do this and make it practical. I think essentially the aim is to just shut down anyone who wants to have that different name or use different pronouns than they historically have or than that are assigned to their biological sex. And it's very damaging to a trans kid to use their dead name. It's not a small thing to them. It's really harmful. And I wish that our board members would take a step outside of their bubble and understand what some of these kids are going through. It's not a friendly world to this group of kids already, and they're making it even worse.
And so, because that is the question, I mean, I come back to, is this the highest priority?
Yeah, I'm not sure why it should be.
Because didn't a lot of people run on, we should be focusing on education, we should be focusing on test scores, we should be focusing on achievement and graduation rates.
Yep.
And is there anything that they can point to as why this bolsters that goal?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
I don't think that anyone's going to pass a test better if they're closeted versus not. I think that's going to have the opposite effect for that group. And it really underestimates our students, too. It's saying, well, our kids can't handle this. We're going to protect them from this dangerous thing. And it's not dangerous. It doesn't hurt anyone for you to use their pronouns that they identify as. I don't understand how this hurts anyone. And we didn't hear any arguments about that. What we heard excuse me, in terms of folks who support the resolution, it was just, I deserve to know everything about my kid. And I think that there are some times where if you are not a safe space for your own kid, maybe that's not, who needs to know?
Well, and I mean, and that's the thing. About a month or so ago, we had a completely different situation, but we had Natalie Eilbert, who wrote an article about how Wisconsin falls in this weird loophole where mm-hmm. some minors cannot get medical care without their parents' consent. And the number of minors who fall under, it's like 17,000 mm-hmm. unhoused people, like minors who can't, if that, something happens to them and their parents aren't there or don't sign off on medical care, they can't get medical care. Mm-hmm. And so the idea that everyone lives in a house like I grew up in,
right,
which I was incredibly lucky. I had an unbelievably supportive parents. I am still so close to them today. Mm-hmm. And had I come out, I'm sure they would have been, there would have been some questions because it was the 90s and the early 2000s. But, you know, they yeah. would have been supportive. But mm-hmm. so many people do not have that kind of support system at home.
Yeah.
And a lot of them find it at school sometimes.
Yes.
And this is taking that away.
Absolutely. It That is the one safe space that is left for some students. And my oldest, my 18-year-old, actually spoke at the meeting last night, too. And that was kind of their point, was you have already made this an uncomfortable environment. And now you're taking away that last bit where there might have been a trusted adult that someone could go to. And now they can't for fear of being outed. People should be able to choose who they are out to and at what pace. And this completely cuts that off for them.
And I think too, Sarah, this is not just happening here in Waukesha. There is a concerted effort around the country.
Yes.
And from what I understand, it is a religiously based group that is pushing these things.
Yeah. So groups like, I know Moms for Liberty, and here in Wisconsin, the group Will have definitely.
The law firm.
my
favorite law firm in Wisconsin.
Yeah, they're great. They have definitely pushed these things, and the Republican Party too. I mean, it's a political thing, and it is a lot of things are religious based, and we're supposed to have a separation here between, you know, your religion and public schools. If you want to go to a religious school, you can go to a religious school, but this is not supposed to be part of how we form our policies in public schools.
All right, well, we're going to keep this conversation going. Sarah's going to stay here. If you have thoughts or comments or questions about the situation, both either in your own school district or the Waukesha School District, 844-967-2789. We will take your calls and texts when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. President Biden reviving his call for a voting rights bill.
Remember that the power to redeem the soul of America lies where it always has lay, in the hands of we the people. We the people.
The president was speaking at the Atlanta church where the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once preached. More documents, more classified, found at President Biden's Delaware home. Is there a double standard? No, says Democrat Daniel Goldman on CBS.
When you look at this very clearly and you compare them, there is no comparison.
The Biden team voluntarily turned over the documents. The Trump team did not. At least 68 people have been killed in a plane crash in central Nepal.
The Yeti Airlines flight from Kathmandu to the tourist town of Pokhara took off at 10:32 a.m. local time this morning. It crash-landed 1.5 kilometers from Pokhara Airport.
CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio, VO5. Let's do it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cancer water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You, who are on the road. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Thank you for joining us on your lunch hour. We are here with Sarah Harrison, a parent in the Waukesha School District, former candidate for the Waukesha School Board, former candidate for state representative. And we were talking about the school board meeting in Waukesha that happened last night where they voted 8-0 on a proposal titled Parental Rights and Transparency that largely had to do with gender identity, pronouns, transgender athletes, bathrooms. And Jane, you said that we had a caller?
Dave from the Shaw is on the line. Go ahead, Dave.
Hi, Kristen. Hi, Sarah. Hi. Sarah's a friend of mine. I'm a parent here in Waukesha, and I'm also a school board junkie. I watch the meetings. I keep up with what's happening. And I watched last night, and I think something stuck out to me. I heard one board member talk about she owns her kids. And that's not the first time she's used that language before. I heard another board member talk about controlling their kids. And I think those kinds of comments are microcosms of the bigger issues that we're facing in Waukesha. And it's based around the perceived needs of parents instead of focusing on who needs to be most important, which is obviously the students. And I think because the board rushed this resolution and they didn't take community input, it seems to me it's really focused on the needs of just a handful of parents as opposed to maybe taking the pulse of the entire community. And I think it these actions from the board in the last year and a half, from removal of the safe space signage and rainbow flags to this parents' bill of rights, and even you guys mentioned the dress code changes. And what was originally proposed as going back to business casual with no T-shirts, that was changed to just a change in non-political or controversial clothing, something that even is like goofy as a lanyard. I think this, it reiterates a bias against the LGBTQIA community. And like Sarah brought up before, I think there's some real terrible outcomes when you do all of these things that seem biased against one group of kids. And, anyway, I appreciate you guys taking my call and continuing this conversation, because I think it's for the good of students in some ways, like for the good of like their life. And we just need to keep pushing.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for the call, Dave. And that's it, because you said there were students who spoke last night.
Yes.
Were any of those students for the resolution?
No.
Got it.
No. There were two recent graduates who spoke, and then there were at least two current students, and all of them were in support of, I'm sorry, all of them were against the resolution.
Because I would say in the many videos nationwide that have gone viral of school boards and how interesting they've gotten over the last couple of years, of the young people who testify, I don't know if testify, can speak.
Sure.
I don't know if I've seen any of them who are saying, I you know, more conservative, I feel threatened, I feel manipulated, I feel groomed, as that buzzword. Yeah. And granted, I can't watch every school board meeting in the country.
You
but
don't
I,
want
I
to.
Just, I know. But you know what I mean? And so it is interesting, as Dave was saying, as far as this being about the students, and who are the ones who are complaining, feeling they feel threatened at school because of safe spaces, because there is inclusionary topics or shows or whatever. And so it's like the comfort of the parents seemingly being prioritized over any student who's even coming forward saying, this makes me uncomfortable. Like, this rainbow flag makes me uncomfortable.
Right.
I'm not saying it doesn't exist.
Sure.
It just doesn't seem like those are the young people who are saying, this is why this affects me.
Right. Right. I don't know anyone who suddenly turned queer because their teacher had a rainbow lanyard. I've yet to hear that story. If it's out there, that would be really interesting, but I don't think that's happening. And I think you're right. You're right. It's a knee-jerk reaction by parents. It's something that has been put into the national spotlight by politicians on the Republican side. It is not something that is an organic issue that we're hearing about in Waukesha. It may be that there are some issues that are happening here, there. I don't know. I can't possibly know that. But it's not coming from a groundswell of people really are feeling put out by the non-existent, people can't even wear that stuff now anyway. But it's not to protect those students from what I'm seeing. It's a parental reaction, and they want to have control.
Yeah.
We have a texter from the 608 coming from a student in the Waukesha School District. I'm beyond disgusted with the decision that has been unanimously made by the school board. In no way does this have anything to do with education. This is a way for the board to have more control over these children's lives. I'm convinced they're scared of not having that stronghold. We're kids. We're changing, growing up, discovering ourselves, and they're scared of us. They don't want us to have separate beliefs. They want the children in the schools to conform.
Yeah. And I think what Dave said as far as the language, because words matter, right?
Yes.
I own my kids. And it said, yeah. I brought you into this world. I'll take you out of it. That kind of mentality of good luck with your long-term relationship with your kid.
You know, it's funny. That's exactly what my kids said to me is, well, in 20 years, they're not going to have a relationship. And that board member said the word own multiple times. This was not a slip up. This was how she refers to her children, I guess. I'm not even going to go down that rabbit hole of owning humans. It's not a thing. Yeah. No, this is for the comfort of the adults in the room.
Yeah. We're talking to Sarah Harrison about the Waukesha School Board vote that happened last night on the parental rights and transparency proposal. And it's interesting. I saw one of the best analogies. And it was a teacher. This is on TikTok. Mm-hmm. I love that. Like that. I just have to admit it, that this is on TikTok. And it was someone who was a teacher.
Yeah.
And she was a high school teacher. And they present very androgynously. They have short hair. Really funky clothing, and they were giving the analogy that in addition to being non-binary, they are a vegetarian.
Okay.
And they were saying how my kids ask me about being a vegetarian. Right. They ask me where I eat. Mm-hmm. What do I eat for lunch?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I've convinced any of them to become a vegetarian. I'm not trying to become. She's like, but I will say this.
Yeah.
I had a student who was interested in becoming a pescatarian, and mm-hmm. they felt very comfortable asking me questions about it.
Yeah.
And it was such a great, they did it better than I did, but it was such a great, it's just the identities or the place that teachers have
mm-hmm.
to think that if you as a parent can't control your own kid, why do you think a teacher is going to be able to control their kid?
Yeah, exactly. And aren't you supposed to be trying to develop your kid to make good choices and to be their own person? I mean, that has always been my goal as a parent, is not to control my kids. Maybe when they're like 3 years old and throwing a fit, maybe there's a little bit of, all right, well, we got to try to control this. But, you know, your ultimate goal shouldn't be to control them. Because then what happens when they leave the house? How do they function as a fully formed human if you don't ever let them be themselves?
And so Jane, do you have something?
Don't you think, though, I think sometimes people have children with the goal of having mini-me's.
Yeah.
They're going to look like me. They're going to act like me. They're going to think the same way I do about everything. And when that doesn't happen, I think some people are really shocked.
Yeah. I mean, if I had an Alex P. Keaton, I might have a different point of view, right? My kids are pretty similar to me. but all joking aside, I mean, I have folks that I'm close to that are different than me. We're not all, you know, it's not a vanilla, exactly the same type of community.
Homogenous,
that's a better way to say it. I have folks in my family who have various political views, and we can get along and we can talk about those things. We don't have to all agree on everything.
Yeah. And so going back to a little bit more of what ended up happening with the dress code, because
mm-hmm.
there's separate but kind of under the same thing, because the original email that got forwarded to me about staff and dress grooming saying, as such, we require staff to dress in a professional manner that can be described as business casual, which does not include any of the following: t-shirts, jeans, sweatpants, sweatshirts, athletic shorts, tight or ill-fitting clothing that shows excessive skin, tennis shoes, beach sandals, flip-flops, my husband would be out, and baseball caps or other hats. And to a certain extent, some of that I get, because it's your job. But the points that I was seeing is like, what are the phi ed teachers going to wear?
Yes.
What are special ed teachers going to wear? So how is that what got passed? Or what did the conversation end up being about how teachers can dress?
So the list basically went away, which was really odd, because that was at the HR meeting, which was right before, and then they spoke about it also at the general meeting. Myself and a kindergarten teacher, first grade teacher, both spoke at the HR meeting saying, if I'm a special ed teacher, if I'm a kindergarten teacher sitting on the floor, crisscross applesauce, how am I supposed to wear a dress or
jeans or yoga pants
or something? Yeah, right? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And
also, just quickly, business casual clothes are not cheap.
No.
And teachers do not make a lot of money. So thing of like, you have to have this wardrobe to look appropriate at school, mm-hmm. but we're not going to give you any money to go get that wardrobe. But anyway, sorry to interrupt you.
What cracks me up is that a lot of this stuff that they have listed actually in most business casual environments would be acceptable.
I'm wearing a t-shirt right now. This is like the most dressed up I've been all week.
Me too. I got jeans on. I'm a manager. I run a team of 12 people, and I still can be a professional when I'm wearing my jeans. It's amazing that doesn't change my personality. Sorry, a little sassy there. But what they ended up saying was basically anything with messaging was out. And then they were very adamant about any type of accessory, such as a lanyard or a mask, must be a single color. And all that's the only reason for them to say that is that they don't want rainbows. They don't want things like, you know, trans flag colors or anything like that. And how has any student's education ever been impacted by the color or colors of their teacher's lanyard? This is what we're spending our time on.
Mm-hmm.
This is a manufactured outrage baloney, in my view.
So in the couple minutes we have left, this passed.
Mm-hmm.
It's now moving forward in what the application of it will look like.
Yep.
Is there anything people can do?
Yeah.
As far as, because it seems like something where people showed up at the meeting to mm-hmm. make a comment.
Mm-hmm.
The comment was not heard. I mean, I don't know what the balance was between both sides, but as far as the people who hold the power are continuing to move forward. And so is it just a more and more awareness for the next school board election? What would you give as far as whether it's Waukesha specifically or I guess more generally across the mm-hmm. state?
So unfortunately, in the next school board election, we have four candidates and only one of them would have voted differently. And that's Diane Voigt, and she's amazing, and I fully endorse her, and you should support her.
And that's for this upcoming election?
That's for this upcoming election in April. I personally plan to continue making a lot of noise. I'm reaching out to some LGBTQ affinity groups and trying to see what has been done in other areas to fight back against these things. I am trying to pull in any resource that I can think of to have a basis for this to be reversed. But once it's so much harder once it's already been approved.
Yeah.
And we still have to go through the policy development. So we can still make comments, but if they're not heard, that's not going to give a lot of reaction or a lot of action.
Yeah. Well, as this story develops, we will definitely have you back. But Sarah Harrison, thank you so much for joining us. This conversation is important, and we will continue to talk about it. But thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, it'll still be As Goes Wisconsin.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 39. Winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles an hour.
Chance for scattered rain showers tonight, lows around 34. Cloudy tomorrow, scattered rain showers likely, high of 42. Upper 30s Tuesday and Wednesday, with a chance for scattered showers Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. A reminder that we love getting hearing from you. This was a topic that was brought to us that we spent the better part of an hour talking about, and it's not something that I probably would have known about until Journal Sentinel and the other news outlets talked about it.
Right.
So this is a perfect example of what's happening in the Waukesha School District, of a great topic that we would always love to be able to talk about and bring people on, and we would love to hear from you. So if you have an idea for a topic or a guest, you can always email us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. And some of the other stories I had planned, I'm going to bump to tomorrow.
That's fine.
I went back and around this time, it was April-ish. So I think it was early April in the lead up to last year's nonpartisan spring elections. And school boards, I think some of the people who were on the school board were elected in last year as
right.
far as this the Waukesha School Board.
Right.
And last year, there was a lot, you know, it was the Mequon-Thiensville recall. It was a lot of activist, conservative, recruited people running for school boards. And so one of the videos I made for Journal Sentinel, or one of the stories, it was kind of like, I wanted to look into the history of this. And, you know, there are school historians who made it very easy to research this because they've already looked into this. But, you know, last year and even in 2021, 2022, Wisconsin alone had school members resign because of dysfunction and violent threats. Like I said, the attempted recall in Mequon-Thiensville, it didn't actually end up going through.
And keep in mind that some of these people don't even have kids in these school districts. Some of the people who are doing this agitating and driving for these changes don't have children in those school districts, may not even be from Wisconsin.
Yeah. And, you know, there's also just more and more money getting into these school board races. And so, you know, I think originally this started with school closures and virtual learning and masks, and now it's, I feel like CRT is less of a buzzword than it was. Now it feels much more centered on LGBTQIA plus issues. But it's interesting because it's not new to time is a flat circle, as Matthew McConaughey says. So almost a century ago, let's think about this, we had the Scopes monkey trial. And the fight over teaching evolution, which obviously then became a play and everything. But like that was at school board levels. That was what you were allowed to teach. You could not teach evolution. You had to teach creationism. And that was heated, to
yes.
say the least.
Yes, it was. It got hot.
And what was the play that they made out of that? Now that I can't think of it. Someone's going to correct me.
It's not 12 Angry Men. That's
no,
a different,
no,
that's
no.
A different
that's,
thing.
That's juries.
Yeah, yeah.
That's also a great play. Though it does feel like something that Gregory Peck would have starred in the movie version.
Doesn't it, though? He would be Clarence Darrow, of course. Yeah.
And so, but that was, you know, that was a such a great. In the 60s, the John Birch Society would storm school board meetings and demand members answer, are you now or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party?
And if you don't know much about the John Birch Society, do a little reading up on it. It's fascinating.
It's entirely linked to McCarthyism and
yes.
the communist and a conservative movement. But then this is what's really fascinating, if you forget this. So in 1974, there was a violent boycott over a West Virginia school board decision to include multicultural textbooks. So this whole CRT thing is not new. And it ended with, like, there were plots to bomb school buses.
Oh, my goodness.
And then even in 1993, this was a headline from the LA Times. School boards become the religious right's new pulpit. Education, alliances of conservative Christian parents, political groups take control of panels, spark battles. And that was 30 years ago. And so this cycle of attacking or targeting school boards for a certain ideology, you know, like some of the things that I learned as far as historians kind of explaining why this happens is these are meetings that are easily accessible.
Sure.
You know, not everyone can get to Madison. Not everyone can get to DC.
Right.
And it feels, and these are people who live in your community and maybe don't feel as unapproachable or separate as your state representatives or the governor or your congressman. But it's like,
and they're less protected as well.
Oh, absolutely. And so they're in, and these meetings happen right down the street. And on top of it, it's, you're talking about kids and people, like whenever kids are in, I mean, like, I think the word I used yesterday is like, as props of, if you appeal to their fears about their kids, people are going to react. And like, I'm not going to say that's not a natural reaction. I don't have kids yet, but I can imagine how protective,
sure,
I'm going to be.
Absolutely.
But what are they afraid of? And I think it comes back to saying, like, are they afraid of that they can't control how their kids are going to see the world?
Again, because they want mini-me's. They want children who will go forth with the same worldview that they have and perpetuate that. Because they're right.
Yeah.
I'm always amazed, because I don't have kids. And I'm always amazed, though, by parents who are surprised that their children are independent thinkers. It's like, did you really think that they were going to just be exactly like you? You're cuckoo.
I did have a friend once, and I love this friend dearly, and it almost surprised me that she said this so boldly. And I think it had to do with, because the first kid was a boy and popped out looking exactly like his dad.
Okay.
And is very much a mini. So far, he's 5.
Well, we got a ways to go.
Yes. But like, you know, and their attempt to get pregnant with a second one, she so badly wanted a girl. And she literally used those words. She's like, I just want a mini me. And I was so, and I don't think she meant it in the way, like, I want her to look in, like, I think she definitely wanted her to look like her, but I don't, you know, now she's 2. So, but I remember seeing that. I was like, I'm not going to say her name, but I was like,
you're setting her Betsy.
I was like, Betsy, like, that's like such a weird, it's a weird thing to say.
And you're,
but
you're setting yourself up for disappointment.
Yeah.
Like Sarah said.
Especially because she got a girl, doesn't necessarily look like her.
Well, and like Sarah said, don't you want them to be the best human being they can be? Shouldn't that be the goal instead of being a better version of you?
Isn't the goal to eventually have them grow up and have them teach you something?
Yes. And go away. Be an adult.
Yeah.
Get out of my house.
All right. Well, when we come back, on to more fun topics, Dr. Mike is here for Dr. Mike Fixes Your Life and Your Lineup. We're going to go through some more of those small things you can do to improve your life slightly without very much effort. But if you have questions for the doctor, you can call in. All right, this is Ask Goes Wisconsin. Be right back.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit wesaysaveit.org. That's wesaysaveit.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates.
Jake from Milwaukee, you get the last word this hour.
Okay, well, Trump is totally innocent. But it's obvious that George Soros, Nancy Pelosi, BLM, with Antifa, and then Hillary's emails, with Hunter Biden's laptop, gas, high, Afghanistan, cut and run.
I rest my case, Coot.
What about Benghazi, Jake? You forgot Benghazi.
I forgot Benghazi. I'm sorry. And Benghazi, I rest my case.
Follow the devil's advocate.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.